All right, welcome back to Right Hook Radio. I am Steve Hook, and we're thrilled to join have on the phone with us Dr. John Lott. He is the president of Crime Prevention Research Center and is a friend of the program, and we welcome you back to the show, Dr. Lott. How are you today?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure. Now, I wanted to talk to you about, I know you're a huge advocate of the Second Amendment. We all thank you for that. But what we're seeing kind of happen throughout Europe, obviously we had the Champs-Élysées shooting with the AK-47. We had a Fresno attack who was probably, you know, this guy apparently was, he shouted Allahu Akbar, but I mean, this guy was a nut from the word go. He was easily converted to Islamism, I suppose. But how do you feel we're doing on a country with regard? Are you happy with President Trump's his position on the Second Amendment? How are we doing crime-wise when it comes to gun violence in this country compared to, say, Europe?
Right. Well, I think President Trump has spoken out in the right way on several issues. There's a lot that has to be done. My biggest concern, if you look at places like Chicago, is that the crime problems that they have there are largely self-inflicted in terms of, you know, you look at the drop in arrests for murder since Mayor Daley became mayor. It was about 67% of people committed murder were arrested. By last year, it was down to 20%. And when you have a drop like that, it's not too surprising that you have increases in murder rates.
So while you have a drop in conviction for murder in Chicago, you have an uptick in actual murder in Chicago. It seems incongruent.
Well, I mean, yeah, if they're not risking anything, if they're not worried about getting caught and punished, guess what? They go and do more of those types of crimes. It's not rocket science to try to figure that out. I think we have, in the last year or so, seen an increase in murder rates in urban areas generally in the United States. My concern about that, and we don't have enough data yet to know definitively what's happening, but my concern has been a lot of the push by the Obama administration to demonize police and to try, I think, unjustifiably, to poison kind of the atmosphere between minority communities and police, arguing that there's been systematic racism.
Right.
The Obama administration's put out one study after another, from Ferguson to Baltimore, claiming that there's systematic racism by police. And so the Ferguson report that they had out, they'll go and they'll say, look, 67% of the population in Ferguson is black, but 85% of the traffic stops involve blacks. And whenever they find any type of difference, they attribute it to racism.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll just give you one point with regard to that statistic, and that is there's seven cities that border Ferguson. Their average black population is pretty close to 85%. I've talked to the former police chief in Ferguson, and he's confirmed what I had heard previously, and that is they set up traffic stops in order to primarily have tickets for people who lived outside of Ferguson. It's kind of a way of exporting the tax burden that's there.
Yeah.
And so what you would want to do if you're going to do the type of study that the Obama administration did was just account for where the people lived that were getting tickets. Did they live in these areas that had a much higher percent black population, or did a lot of the people who got tickets live in Ferguson? My guess is most of the people who got tickets lived outside of Ferguson. And if that's the case, then, you know, it may not be as much of a difference, if any, from what was being claimed. But those are just simple things that they didn't even really try to deal with.
Yeah, because it upsets their narrative.
Right, but the point is, though, it may have real costs. So if you look in the past, you go back maybe 5 years ago, what you'd find is that blacks actually report violent crimes committed against blacks at a higher rate than whites do or Hispanics. You know, if you were somebody who really thought that the police were racist against you and that they weren't going to try to solve the crimes, or that they were just going to, let's say, arrest another black based on their race and not whether they had actually gone and committed a crime. My guess is you would be relatively reticent to go to the police and turn to them for help.
Yeah.
And yet the fact that you see in the past blacks being about 10 percentage points more likely to report violent crimes to police than whites goes against that. And that difference is true whether you look at blacks and whites who live in center city urban areas or urban areas generally or suburbs or rural areas. You see that pattern maintained whether you look at by income. Poor blacks are more likely to report violent crimes committed against them than poor whites.
Huh.
Middle-income blacks are more likely than middle-income whites, and so on. And my concern has been possibly by emphasizing, and I believe incorrectly, I mean, if there really was systematic racism going on, that would be one thing. But if there's not, and you're doing really poorly done studies, and you make it so that people don't trust the police, so they don't go and report violent crimes, guess what? You're less likely to be able to go and solve those crimes. Criminals won't view it as being as risky for them to go and commit those types of crimes. And the real victim of that may be poor blacks who live in high-crime urban areas who face an even higher crime rate, because the criminals know that they can get away with impunity when they go and commit crimes.
And you know, to that point, John Lott, and this kind of touches on a little bit on your book, More Guns, Less Crime, especially when we look at cities like Chicago. I mean, they've got some of the strictest gun laws on the books. A lot of good it does them. But let's take a look at what happened in Fresno last week. Now, we've got a guy that is shouting Allahu Akbar and he's killing people, but he's also a screaming racist. Now, the left would have you believe, or the media would have you believe, that you've got to make a choice. It was either a hate crime based on race or it was terrorism. It can't be both. Well, of course, they're not mutually exclusive, but this guy who mowed down these folks in Fresno, and he did specifically pick out white people, he may have been motivated by some of this crap narrative that Obama and Holder pushed in Ferguson, in Baltimore. I mean, this is the price we're paying for that kind of rhetoric, is it not?
You know, I don't know in this particular case. It's surely possible that that's something that happened. I mean, there have been a number of anecdotal stories of crimes that have been committed where you know, the people who, blacks who've attacked whites have said things like, this is for Michael Brown or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm a little reticent to go and put a lot of weight on just some anecdotal stories, though they surely concern people. But look, racism is something that's very serious. You know, if somebody really is racist, they should be called into account for that. But what you have to concern yourself about is that false charges of racism also have a real cost. Not only do they make it so that real racism isn't stigmatized the way it should be if
right.
you use it, you know, too frequently in times where it's not justified, but you may have some of the types of problems that you talked about. I mean, we've had cases where police officers seem to have been targeted specifically because they are police officers.
Uh-huh.
The last couple of years, there seems to be a rise in what's called so-called ambush shootings of police officers.
Sure, in New York City.
Right, exactly. And there have been other cases. So, you know, at least in the past, when police officers' lives were lost, what you would see is that a police officer would be arriving on the scene, and the criminal who he was trying to arrest would be the type of person that would shoot the police officer. Now, in the last year and a half or 2 years, we've been running into cases where somebody who isn't being arrested by the police officer, who just comes up from the side and isn't someone who the police even have on their radar, goes and just without any provocation shoots the police officers.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's, you know, in Dallas also you have that type of situation.
Sure.
In other places. So, you know, that's the question one has to ask is, well, why is that occurring now? Why didn't that occur 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 15 years ago? And, you know, it makes you wonder whether
yeah.
or not this increased claim of systematic racism by police. You know, the thing is also, President Obama, whether it be the Cambridge police officer or the Trayvon Martin case in Florida or
Michael Brown,
the Ferguson, Missouri case, has frequently jumped out ahead on these cases before really anything is known about them and come to a conclusion that in the end, like in the Michael Brown case, you know, the guy was not an innocent victim.
No.
In that case, he had, you know, and but he doesn't, and but President Obama never kind of really retracted, or Holder never retracted their statements that they made that had so racially charged these events.